T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And Joe, let's bring you back in. I believe we have some big breaking news here.
Big,
on the show.
Big news. Big news. With Omar Kelly, who's with us here today and all jacked up for first round of the NFL draft. And I do agree a lot of people know how big this thing is. But Omar, what's going on? What do you have for us?
Well, Joe, I am very thankful and appreciative for not only joining you on a regular basis, but I've been doing a lot of work for AllDolphins.com. Spent the last year with All Dolphins podcast with Alan Poupard. I'm really thankful for what Alan has done and what we've built and the work that we continue to do and he will continue to do. But right now I've been a free agent and I decided to take my talents to the Miami Herald. Today we'll actually begin a process where I'm going to be covering the draft and the Dolphins for the Miami Herald moving forward. So that's and returning to the newspaper and outlet that actually gave me my start in journalism, because when I was in 11th grade, the Miami Herald hired me in the North Miami Beach neighbor's office. And Barry Jackson, I was his intern. Barry Jackson was my mentor. And now I will be working with Barry Jackson and actually we'll be doing a podcast together.
Wow. Congratulations. So if you don't mind me asking, how long has this been in the works? For a while, or did it just kind of open up, or how did it all take place?
It's an opportunity I turned down a couple of years ago and stayed with the Sun Sentinel. And then I went to go work with I Am Athlete, which is now defunct. none of my doing. I'm appreciative for everything that I've been through in 2023. Was probably the roughest year of my life, but taught me a lot about myself, taught me a lot about people, taught me a lot about what I need moving forward in my life. And this, I'm certain, is the right move for me. We've been discussing it for a long time. It's kind of replacing Armando, going into that columnist role, analyst role. And hopefully I can continue to do work with QAM here and with you guys. Yeah. But it gets me back to something that I probably didn't appreciate when I left.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the social media and the Twitter world, you know, and the hate and the fans, it can wear you down. But this is something I've always dreamed about my entire life, doing it. And I probably didn't respect it or appreciate it when I left. And now I definitely have more of an appreciation for it.
So what are you coming out of the gates with for the Herald? What are you thinking here for first up?
To me, the biggest decision about Thursday is, do you trade down, give up your 21st pick to sort of restock the shelves? Or do you sit and get a premium guy? I know where you are, Joe.
And now. Yeah.
It sounds like win now, and you, in your mind, it sounds like you believe they got to get an interior lineman, future tackle, to help you and replace Robert Hunt. I'm not in disagreement with you, but if a guy like Tyler Guyton isn't there for me at 21. I'm not sure I'm willing to settle on the Graham Barton. I might rather just trade down and pick up more assets. But the question is, how far down will we have to go? I mean, you got to look at teams like Kansas City want to come up. Do I want to go from 21 to 32 and just to pick up another third round pick, just to make up for Steve Ross and his, you know, his wandering eye. You know, I don't know if that's the right move, and it's going to be a tough decision for Chris Greer. And I also think the flirtation with, you know, Mike McDaniel and a wide receiver, whether it's Xavier Worthy or whether it's, you know, it's a kid from LSU. Damn, why can't I remember his name?
What are you telling
Brian Thomas Jr.
Right, there you go.
You know, those are the two that I think will probably be in play for Miami because they just fill needs. And would you give Mike McDaniels more of what he wants, which is playmakers? I mean, when you do have the number one offense in the NFL, you got to kind of keep that going, keep the party going, right? And we do have an issue. I think the number three receiver is wide open, Joe.
You know, it's interesting. We've been talking about this, the relationship head coach, general manager, and those guys have this is the best relationship head coach and GM has had in a long, long time.
They always say that, Joe, until it ends.
No, I understand that, but right now it's really good. And you're right, by the way. Good point. So
they always claim to be buddy buddy till their wives aren't speaking anymore.
Well, that has happened. That has happened. And by the way, don't worry over there. We're not getting into who we're talking about. But
I would say this though.
At the end of the day, Mike, I'm not getting you another speed guy right now. We got other needs on this team. Got to help your defense. You know, I know we coach up these offensive linemen, got a lot out of them. Mm-hmm. Probably, you know, we squeezed everything we could get out of our top nine guys last year.
Squeezed every bit of juice out of them.
Yeah, everything. But we got, and by the way, I don't count out defensive tackle. And I don't know where Byron Murphy, I've heard some people think, oh my God, he's clearly the best defensive tackle. And so if he is and somehow he drops and you got him high on your board and you take him, I don't have a problem with that. I have great respect for the two defensive tackles that led a 3.8 yards per carry against you on run defense and 19 sacks. I never will take that for granted. The most productive year in the history of the Miami Dolphins franchise for a combo of the under 4 yards per carry given up and the 19 sacks that the two defensive tackles gave you. So I'll have great appreciation for
so
that.
You're not happy. You're not okay with the 7 defensive tackles signed this offseason, Joe?
Was that sarcasm?
I'm just asking you a question. You're not comfortable? Seven?
I haven't. No. Nobody's done it.
Okay, that's fair.
Nobody's done it to where
Tart has. Tier Tart has been productive.
Okay.
And, you know, you got him on discount because
– I know, and I know he got bad mouth, and I know he's been salty about getting bad mouth the way it ended. And what was it, Tennessee was upset with that whole thing. So, listen, man, if he comes in and he's chewing it up a little bit in preseason and we see him in shape and whatever else they accused him of not being, man, I'm all for that. I love a motivated dude that's got talent that just hasn't used it for a while. I'm all for that.
I mean, he got salty and pissed that, you know, they weren't going to give him the money. And, you know, kind of forced his way out of there. Now, the thing is, you're making $1.6 million. That's not the end result that you were making. I mean, I think you're making one-third what you made last year. So you got to be on a reclamation tour. You got to be on a, you know. So I'm not saying that he's going to be the answer because one injury can change everything. But I do want to say this about this draft and where the Dolphins are with their draft picks. If you pass on a defensive tackle with pick number 21 and pick number 55, there's going to be nothing there for you.
Yeah.
Because this is already one of the weakest positions in this draft.
So we got a little spoiled. You know this.
Yes.
You and I have talked about it with Sealer and Wilkins because not only were they productive, they were durable. As durable of defensive tackles as the league had. Those guys play and play and play. That battery never stopped, man. That thing.
And they were they played well together. That's the most important thing.
We were suiting up three defensive tackles some games or four, and you're like, wow, I feel like, do we have enough? If you know, and they were pretty damn good. So anyway, whichever way you go, and I know we disagree on development and all that stuff, and I want it. I want everything now. I do. I do want everything now because, and I asked you this before, do you think this team has got a chance to be as good as last year's team?
Not a chance. Just talent-wise, they're just not there. And you're going to have to expect a lot of players to take major second-year jumps. and second or third season jumps. Who are those players, Joe? Who's going to make these jumps? Cater Kohu?
No. And Cater's already come out and said what I did last year was awful. So, you know, but I want to get back to yeah, that's a great question because I don't think it's there yet either. From when you and I were all sitting up there going, damn, this team's got a lot of talent on both sides of the football.
They
and
do.
Then we start going back. This is the most talented team we've had in a couple decades. And I still believe that.
Yeah, I do
but,
too.
But the unknown with Omar is the fact that the pass rushers really, I mean, those are two impactful players.
Mm-hmm.
When will they be at 100% and be able to let it go? And confidence in the knee, confidence in the Achilles to really, really let it go. And you go, wow, they are all the way back.
I would have to think it would have to be end of October. Because, I mean, I could just count. I could do math.
A lot of games.
I mean, are we expecting
6-7 games?
Are we expecting both of them to have miraculous recoveries? Is that
I want them to be at 100% in the second half of the season. But. And by the way, the reason I bring this up is we may have to go first round with a pass rusher if there's somebody high on the board.
Absolutely.
That's not
if somebody falls to you, if the Jared Verse or the Latu guy from UCLA.
Latu.
I don't think he's unless he's got medical red flags, I don't and Jalen Phillips had medical red flags, so and he
yeah,
felt
he was
by
actually
18.
Those guys kind of had the same
yep.
same path with the UCLA thing too. It's kind of ironic before
yeah, it is.
He transferred to a University of Miami.
I mean, if he's there at 21, I think it's a layup. That's a layup for Miami, and you're celebrating and you're worrying about everything else. And I will say this, and I said this to you previously when I did show, you could sign Calais Campbell tomorrow, the day after the draft, and all your defensive line issues are addressed.
I don't know how we feel about and I'm a big Calais fan, like most people that have known him and seen what he's done in his career. My God, nobody thought he was going to be this good coming out of UM. But so I don't know if we want to sign 34, 35-year-old guys, even though he's coming off another pretty damn good year.
Productive year for Atlanta. I understand that, but what are we doing?
No, they're all in right now again. This is year two all in.
I mean, if we're doing all in and F them picks, what's the worry? What's the concern? And you know, hopefully it's something that they'll visit and evaluate after the draft when they figure out what they do. But I don't think there should be a rush or a push to sign a defense or get add a defensive tackle early if you know you can always break the Calais Campbell emergency. You know, glass.
Well, listen, we got Simon Clancy going to join us. 3 yards per carry podcast. I know you know Simon really well. We're going to ask him some of these same questions and get set for the first round of the draft, and we'll talk about the Dolphins and everything else. That's going to be coming up in just a moment. But first, I got to take a second to tell you about Baptist Health South Florida. I love talking about those guys because they have put together a sports medicine program that is one of the tops in the country. Man, when you start putting the top specialists together, doctors that have seen every kind of sports injury, know how to fix it, and then people ask me, because this one always pops up, where do the pros go when they get injured, Joe? My wife, I get at the tennis courts, my wife's hurt, my husband's hurt. I go, well, enter Miami, the Miami Heat, the Florida Panthers, Miami Dolphins, FIU, FAU. We got a program for Dade County High School sports. We're taking care of a lot of people, and not to mention all the athletes from all over the country that come down here for a second opinion or to get operated on because of the great specialists for the knee and shoulder and foot and ankle and hand and back and Achilles and hip and knee replacement. We got a lot of doctors, and they're working all over. It is Baptist Health South Florida, meaning we got facilities in Dade. We got them on the border there between Dade and Broward, and we got them in Broward County for you. So whether you want to go to Doctor's Hospital in Coral Gables, the Hard Rock Stadium next to the training facility, or the new facility on 595 in Pine Island in Plantation, known as Dr. Swartzen Land. I mean, it's a beautiful place. Beautiful place. And he's a wonderful dude. Visit BaptistHealth.net/ortho. One go every day, no matter who you are. It's about getting you healthy, playing the sports you love.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The most.
With the 21st pick in the NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins select.
First round of the NFL draft is tonight. It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Joe.
Thank you, Woody. Simon Clancy, 3 yards per carry podcast, joins us this morning. Simon, good morning, man. How you doing?
I'm very well. How are you?
We're doing great, Simon. And listen, we've all had our opinions on what the Dolphins should do if they keep that first-round pick tonight. I'm just curious for you. You study all this stuff and the breakdowns of what's out there and what potentially could be at that 21st pick. What's the biggest need for this team to get better for you tonight if for the first round? What would it be?
That's a really good question, because I think the Dolphins, Omar and I were talking about this the other day, the Dolphins have done a really good job of kind of positioning themselves in free agency where there isn't a massive need anywhere. I think, obviously, the offensive line could do with some improvement, but then, you know, you roll back 12 months and Chris Greer talking to the media and saying, you know, you guys care about the offensive line a lot more than we do. I think the defensive line, obviously, we're not going to have Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips at the start of the season, or if we are, they're not going to be back to 100%. And I think what's missing, maybe, and if you look at what Anthony Weaver was successful with in Baltimore when he had Justin Madubuike last season, he had all these big kind of rotational defensive tackles alongside Madubuike, but he was this kind of slightly undersized guy who was able to rack up 12, 13 sacks, first team All-Pro, and the Dolphins don't really have that guy. Obviously, Christian Wilkins was here. He's gone to the Raiders. Zach Sealer obviously does a job and had an outstanding year with sacks, but the NFL is predicated on inside pressure these days. You don't have these big 340, 350 pounders like Sam Adams's and Gilbert Browns and Chester McLaughlin's and these guys anymore. It is based on guys that are just around 300 pounds, 305 pounds, who can affect the pocket, who can pressure from the inside and can get after the quarterback. So I do think the Dolphins will be looking at a couple of players there as well. I think that might be a key need. For me personally, it would be off the offensive line, just to make sure that Tua's okay and keep him upright and not have the same problems we had the last couple of years. But I do think defensive line as well, very important.
Simon, you know what? You and I should have been friends a long time ago, man. You took the words right out of my mouth the last few months. I'm with you. Go ahead, Omar. I'm sorry.
Listen, Simon, here's my thought process about this draft. And we know where the Dolphins are at 21. They're not in 55. And then the sloppy seconds in the third round. I mean, in the third day. Yeah. They're not going to be able to address everything. Here's my concern. Yep. Where do you put your priority in terms of getting offensive line help or getting defensive line help, whether it be an edge guy or a defensive tackle? Where, based on the fact what you know about this draft class, where do you put your priorities in day one and day two?
I mean, I think the Dolphins can't afford another mulligan in with their first pick. Cam Smith, you know, looks like a talented player, could develop into a player, but did nothing last season. The year before, Channing Tindall, again, two mulligans back-to-back. The window is beginning to close for the Dolphins in terms of the talent they have. They're about to pay the quarterback, Tyreek, and his contract. There's lots of big contracts that are just building and building and building. So the window is open. They can't afford to miss with these first two picks today and tomorrow. They have to get either significant performers in terms of playtime or full-time starters. So I just don't think that they can draft somebody like a Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, who we know they've had huge interest in. Butch Barry went down to the Oklahoma Pro Day, was running the drills. We know that Tyler has been on a 30 visit of the Dolphins, but he's a right tackle only. They've just paid Austin Jackson. So where is Tyler Guyton going to play? The idea is that he's going to move to the left side later in his career, but Terron Armstead is there, and you're probably not going to want to put Tyler Guyton out at left tackle, a position he's rarely played in the NFL as a rookie. Amarius Mims, the guy at Georgia, exactly the same. He's too big to play guard. So where does he play? He's a career right tackle, 8 starts. He's going to go in the first round almost certainly. He's too raw to play at left tackle. And we just had the same conversation about Tyler Gatton. To me, they have to find a guy that can step in day one and start. And whether that's a defensive lineman or whether that's an offensive lineman. So, for example, Graham Barton of Duke played left tackle, 2,665 career snaps at Duke, has played up and down the line, every position, 5-position versatility. He could play centre. He's almost certainly a guard, but he's probably good enough to play left tackle. He's 6'5", he's 313. You look at his tape against Jared Verse of Florida State, he was outstanding. He's got shorter arms, but the last guy with his size and the same short arms was a guy called David Bakhtiari, who was taken in the 4th round and turned into probably the best left tackle in the NFL for 3 or 4 years with the Green Bay Packers. Barton is a guy that will come in, start left guard next to Terron Armstead on day one. And to me, that's an absolute no-brainer. And it's the same with the defensive line. You look, to me, there's 3 edge players that I think would be worthy of that pick. I think Dallas Turner will be gone. Leatu Latu of UCLA should be gone, but the only reason he wouldn't, to me, he's the best defensive player in the draft. But there are medical concerns. He was medically retired 2 years ago with a neck injury, came back, played 2 years at UCLA. But the Dolphins have shown historically with Tua, with Jalen Phillips, that they are not as concerned about injury issues as some other teams have been. You listen to people like Greg Cosell, you listen to people like Daniel Jeremiah, you listen to Bob McGinn. Some teams have taken Leatu Latu off their boards because of the injury. I don't believe the Dolphins will do that. So to me, Leatu Latu is the best pass rusher in the draft. He's a fantastic pass rusher. The ability to get to the quarterback and what he does, his pass rush arsenal is phenomenal. So again, there's a guy that can come in sub packages and contribute day one. Jared Verse, we talked about him earlier on from Florida State. He's a guy that can play the run. He can set the edge, but also he can get after the quarterback. Albany transfer. I love the way that over the last couple of years, he's just worked and worked and worked to improve his game. Another day one starter for me. So I think you've just got to find players who are going to come in and contribute immediately. You can't have another Cam Smith sat on the sideline. You can't have another Channing Tindall only playing special teams.
I've been selling Omar on, you sound like a Joe Rose echo right here, man. I am with you on all this stuff. So I got to ask you, this love affair going on, Xavier Worthy, and of course, I get it. We got a fast team, and now we got the fast guy in the history of the combine and a 40-yard dash out there, and they're talking, does that pick make any sense in the first or second round for you to take with all these other needs? Would that shock you if they took Worthy or another wide receiver with their first or second round pick?
I don't think it shocked me, Joe, to be honest. I think this offense, as you said, is predicated on speed. But what I found with Worthy, and I'm concerned about the size, I know he dropped down to 169 at the combine so that he could break the record. He plays in the mid-170s. He is a obviously vastly undersized, deep threat, but he is an elite ball tracker, probably along with Jermaine Burton of Alabama, the best ball tracker in the draft. He's got the speed to run away from absolutely anybody, and we know that that's what this offense loves so much. He does a lot of I dug back into the tape after the combine because the size, as I said, concerned me, and I saw Mike McDaniel look at him at the we all saw the photo at the Texas Pro Day where Mike was kind of in awe, as it were, because he sees a guy like a Ferrari that can come in and do special things in this offense. So I went back to the tape, Joe, and I saw him doing so much unrewarded dirty work in the Texas offense in terms of how he was able to just go up and down the field running routes that would allow the running backs, Jonathan Brooks, allow Jatavion Sanders to work underneath, allow Jordan Whittington to work underneath, allow Quinn Ewers to do what he does underneath, because the speed that Worthy has essentially just takes away the number one corner, and then teams just have to roll a safety over the top. And he just did that over and over and over again. And I think that having that ability and having that speed, you know, you line up in a 4-wide set where you've got Xavier Worthy, Devon Achan, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I mean, that is hard for anybody to stop. So would I be surprised if it happened? No. Would I be happy if it happened? I'd kind of be on the fence with it because I trust Mike McDaniel and what he can do with the offense, but I absolutely wouldn't be surprised if it was either Worthy or maybe Brian Thomas or even Brock Bowers if he began to fall.
Yeah. So Simon, we get this all the time because I understand tonight's about being sexy and getting a skilled player that everybody will know and talk about. So the big dudes aren't real popular, especially on the first round of the draft for a lot of people. I just wonder, because we get beat up around, oh, we're soft in the end of the year.
The powerful teams
knock us around. And so Mike's going, let's get more speed. Let's get more speed for December and January. What are your thoughts on that when you hear that the Dolphins seem to be soft? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I mean, look, these guys play an incredibly violent game, and they are, I don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility when we look at, you know, what's happened with concussion over the last 10, 15 years in terms of how things have manifested with that, that these guys are putting their lives, their livelihoods, their bodies on the line for our entertainment. So I think to call these players soft is a difficult thing for me to say. But I do think that there is a softer core that the Dolphins historically feel like a team that is going to collapse in the biggest moment. And I think for Mike McDaniel, that might be the biggest issue that he has to solve going forward. I was in Kansas City in the playoff game, and I knew as soon as the Dolphins went down, as soon as the scoreboard looked like they were going to lose, you knew they were going to lose. I did not expect them to march into Baltimore at the end of the season and beat the Ravens. I just didn't. It's a different thing in week three when they can come back from 35-14 down and win the game. As great as that was, and it was great, I'm taking nothing away from that performance, but I just didn't feel like they were going to go and march into M&T Bank at the end of the season last year and win. And I don't know what that is. I don't know how you solve that, because, you know, we've all been around the Dolphins. We've all been around the locker room. I've been in numerous Dolphins locker rooms last season. You know, you see guys like Christian and Zach and Teron, and these are tough guys. These are hard guys. These are, you know, these are not soft players. So I don't understand, and I don't know what it is, and or what the mentality and mindset is, but it needs to change. And if that starts tonight by taking some guys that have that kind of, you know, punch you in the mouth mentality and aren't going to be afraid to go to Kansas City in the snow and turn the Chiefs over, who aren't going to be afraid to go to Buffalo in December, who aren't going to be afraid to host Buffalo in December and take what, you know, take that division title back, then, you know, I'm all for that. But that would, to me, would be the biggest question that Mike McDaniel has asked himself this season, is how and why do we keep collapsing, and what is it about the core of this team that doesn't seem to get over the line in the big games?
Did you hear Omar, by the way, Simon, take that little jab, they are soft, like he never stops, man. Omar never stops.
I don't think even Mike McDaniel can deny the fact that they have a soft reputation. I think he even addressed it in Hard Knocks. I think he's right.
I just don't know how he addresses it.
Let me ask you a little bit about the secondary, because, you know, for all that we're talking about with the trench players and the speed players, and we know where this team needs to address, I think there's a good chance that a cornerback, they might be in position to take one of those upper echelon cornerbacks, and certainly they'll be in position to take one of the upper echelon safeties, maybe a Cam Kitchens, who I've got a man crush on.
In the first round.
Not in the first round, definitely not. Okay. But where do you think, what player in the secondary would be worthy in your mind for them to say, okay, 21, this is the BPA, this is the player that presents the best value?
This is a difficult one, because I don't think anybody knows. You can kind of gauge what Anthony Weaver is going to do with the defensive line, because historically that's been his area, both as a player and a coach. It's harder to gauge what they might do in the secondary, because we just don't know. We've had that 1 year of experience with the Texans where he was DC, and it was pretty vanilla on the back end. We obviously saw what happened last year with Baltimore, where he was assistant head coach and the defensive line coach in Mike McDonald's defense. And they had a very specific player in that defense, which was Kyle Hamilton, who is an absolute alien at 6'4". He's 220 pounds. He runs in the 4.4s, and he played multiple positions. To me, before he got injured, he would have been my vote if I had one for Defensive Player of the Year last year. You line him up at free safety, you line him up at strong safety, he can play in the nickel, he can play outside at corner, he can play as a box safety, he can run the alley, he can play at linebacker, he took snaps as a edge. He played the old Tiger formation that we used to play with Jason Taylor, where Jason sort of dropped off into sort of middle linebacker and blitz. He also played a snap at defensive tackle, which tells you how good he is. There are not players like that, and how do you rebuild or try and build a defense around a player like that when he is almost certainly one of a kind? But there is a player in this draft, in Iowa's Cooper DeJean, who has the ability not to be Kyle Hamilton, but has the ability to be a Swiss Army knife. You know, you look up the word Swiss Army knife in the dictionary, and underneath Kyle Hamilton, you'll see the collegiate version might just be Cooper DeJean, who was a cornerback at Iowa, but also played free safety. He played box linebacker. He played the cash position at Iowa, which is a sort of free safety linebacker hybrid. And you look at his athletic ability in terms of his performance at the combine. He performed outstanding at the combine. This is a guy who was a state champion in basketball. He was a state champion twice in football. He was a state champion in 100 meters. He was a state champion in the long jump. He scored more points in basketball in high school hoops than Harrison Barnes, who now plays for the Sacramento Kings. He won a championship in AAU basketball. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, athletically, can do anything. Where do you play him? He's a bit sticky in the hips. He's probably a zone corner. Now, are the Dolphins playing man on the outside? Are they playing zone? Mike McDonald at Baltimore last year played 73% of zone coverage. So, you know, if there is a copycat of what McDonald did last year for Anthony Weaver, does that make Cooper DeJean more of an option to play as a pure corner? But to me, you play him at safety. You play him at nickel. You can run the alley with it. You can do some of the things that you did with Kyle Hamilton. The flip side of that is you also have a player in Javon Holland who is extremely athletic, extremely cerebral, can play multiple positions. Don't forget, when he was at Oregon, he sat out his final year because of COVID. The year before, he played 8 snaps at free safety and everything else was in the slot. And the year before that, half the season he played at free safety and half of the season he played in the slot. So this is a guy who can play multiple positions on the back end. And if you bring in Cooper DeJean, you already have Kyle Fuller and Jalen Ramsey on the outside who can play lockdown either in man or in zone. We know from Anthony Weaver that he's going to move Jalen Ramsey around. But you could have this Swiss Army knife like a Cooper DeJean who can come in and play multiple positions. He's also going to be an outstanding gunner from day one, and he's a great punt returner as well. So, you know, there are lots and lots of options for a guy like DeJean. There are other corners I like. I really like Kool-Aid McKinstry of Alabama. I think he's a really, really good player. There's guys in the second round I think are really good. Like Andrew Phillips at Kentucky, I think he's a really good player. Max Melton at Rutgers in terms of pure corners. But to me, if you're looking for that kind of Swiss Army knife, I think that Cooper DeJean could really fill an important role for the Dolphins should they want to go in that sort of Kyle Hamilton kind of area.
Simon, last question. We'll let you run, and we really appreciate all this great information this morning before tonight's first round of the NFL draft. I want to ask you, you followed Chris Greer and what he's done, and you think good chance he might trade out of that pick tonight and try to pick up an extra second or third round pick, if not both?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I just think, Joe, it's just going to depend on how the board falls, because like I said right at the top, they're in a decent position in multiple positions in how they've brought in players to fill some needs and fill some holes and fill some gaps and probably improve the bottom third of the roster. I think getting back into that third and fourth round area would be important, but I don't think to the detriment of taking just a guy that you think can come in and do something really. You know, if a guy like Bowers falls, who's had an extraordinary draft season in terms of, you know, he's not worked out. He didn't work out at the combine. He ran about 12 lackadaisical routes at the Georgia Pro Day. He's not done anything. If he begins to fall, if he gets past the Jets, if he gets past Denver, if he gets towards Cincinnati, the Dolphins have essentially got 3 third-round picks next year. They've got their own third-round pick, obviously, and then they're getting 2 compensatory picks in the third round for the guys they've lost this year. Would Chris Greer consider getting rid of his own third-round pick next year, knowing he's already got 2 to move up in the draft? So I think that's also not beyond the realms of possibility. But I also think moving down, it's a long way to wait from pick 55 into the 100 and whatever it is that we're on the board next in the fifth round, to just sit there and watch good player after good player after good player go off the board. So I wouldn't be surprised if they move down, but I wouldn't want to do it to the detriment of a good player at 21.
Simon, the best thing I like this morning with you, and I know you feel, and it's because I feel the same way, whatever they do with these picks, these top picks, they need to be able to come in and play right away and not go on Omar's 4-year plan where they're going to be good in like 3 or 4 years when they're up for a new contract.
100%.
Hey, thank you, Simon. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Joe. All right. My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Simon Clancy, 3 yards per carry podcast. See this? Did you hear that stuff, Omar? That's
hey, Joe,
right out of my school right there,
it's
man.
It's not a 4-year program. It's a 2-year program, Joe. All right. Baby steps for this franchise. You act like they've been developing talent. They just had a nice little run.
Do you realize how old he is?
Who, Simon?
No, Joe. You're talking about these 4-year plans. Yeah. How many 4-year plans do you think he's got left?
Exactly.
Very
one.
Good point.
Man, oh, man.
You know what?
How many?
Somebody else said.
All of us
no,
out?
Somebody
I mean,
else
on,
said
man.
That. Like, look at man. I want to win now. I want to be there. I don't want to be sitting on a couch and listening to some guy on the radio going, "Oh my God, we're going to the friggin' AFC Championship game again." F you. I want it. I want it now.
So Joe can only survive a 2-year program, right?
We're season to season at this point. I want it. Hey, let's just look at next season, all right?
All right. Well, listen, let's go to break. We're super late, and we got to get caught up. That was great stuff. We'll take a quick break. Back in a moment.
All right, time for weather brought to you by the Demesman and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. It is 71 degrees, a 0% chance of rain. And Joe, just a quick question for you. Can you confirm or deny that you are hosting a draft party at the Milpenis Ale House this evening?
You know, Bo doesn't appreciate that. Yeah. When I get back, and I get with Mr. Milpitas, high school guy, he's not going to be happy about
it. I see him wearing the hat all over. He's clearly embraced it.
Listen. I warned him last week. I was like, Bo is going to hunt you down, bro. And when he finds you, I feel sorry for you.
By the way,
we've put his town on the map.
You're going to catch him on a day where the girlfriend had him out shopping and doing stuff where he's just tired. And he's going to look at you and go, not today. And you're going to jab him and throw in the penis stuff. And it's.
Is Bo a big shopping? Does he like to go out shopping?
No.
Is he a mall guy?
You got to do. No.
You're a mall guy. So I don't know. You guys are buddies.
I'm not either.
You're a mall guy. You don't shop. You walk.
I have done more grocery shopping this week. And I told she's like, oh my God, can you just go wait in the car or something? You're driving me nuts. I go, how much stuff? You're like studying, like every aisle, like let's go, let's get these. Did you write a list down? Oh my God, I don't.
Joe, you got to go every aisle, Joe.
Joe, you don't know what you need.
Most
importantly, did you make it to the cookie aisle? Because I've been telling you for years, there's been a lot of advances in the cookie game.
By the way, we've been hitting the cookie. It's about keeping the parents happy. So,
do they still give kids free cookies?
They do. Yes.
Oh, do they?
Oh yeah, of course.
Damn, I'm missing out here.
I didn't know.
No, it's not for you. You don't get a free cookie. It's for the kids.
No. Because you're doing that conditioning. What's that thing you're doing again? What's that called? Pilates.
How's that
Pilates doing?
I haven't gone recently. I've been doing real traditional workouts, but I do need a good stretch. So I'm going to put it in the arsenal, but I need some new Pilates pants.
What happened to your old ones? They ripped?
I want some shorts, but they got to keep the sack in. And it's, because your legs are
really
up in the air.
Oh, my God. Really, Omar?
You got to have the biker thing.
You know, this is a clean show, and you got to start talking about your – only sack I want to hear about is Zach Sealer and the pass rush. That's the only sack
I want to hear
about.
Zach Sealer and his seven partners?
Yeah, that's it. That's all I want to hear about. Hey, by the way, Simon Clancy was fantastic. And I kind of knew, but, man, he really – breaks down stuff.
A lot
especially
of people
when you
thrown
get
by the accent
that,
a little bit, though, Joe. A lot of people were thrown
I
by
gotta
that.
I got to tell you that when somebody says a lot of stuff that you agree with and have been saying, it just makes you smile on my face and just
reinforces.
Yeah, we're going in the right direction, Simon. We're going in the right direction.
Hopefully. Now watch Chris Griff select a cornerback in the first round. Then.
By the way, that would be disappointing. By the way,
come on.
Go ahead and ask me first round positions would be disappointing. Just me. Cornerback, wide receiver, disappointing.
He is going
cornerback,
to, he,
disappointing.
He is going to select BPA, Joe. And we're going to be like, huh? Trust me, it's going to happen. Just wait for it.
Well, I hope not.
And in his defense, every single time that this franchise has gone BPA, with the exception of Cam Smith, it has paid out and benefited them. So I'm all good with it. That BPA usually ends up being your best player, Joe. Remember when you had like a stable full of wide receivers and you took Jarvis Landry in the second round?
God, you and Jarvis Landry. Are we still on the Jarvis Landry working to get Jarvis a job?
You know he put out a video, right? A workout video.
No, yeah, you produced it probably.
Oh, damn it. I wasn't asked.
Run a cut to the left again. Run a in and out route.
That is a form of work that I've done. I was not asked, and Will he throw you a bone?
Like, I mean,
I saw the message
he sent you.
Omar, you're my man. Thank you. Let's go to lunch today. It's on me.
What about 1%? Like, if he signs a contract, you get 1%.
I don't need nothing. I just want Jarvis to be back in the league. That league is kind of blackballing him.
Why?
Because
you benefit from it?
No, because he's a – I mean, the league is blackballing him.
They're blackballing him. If he was good enough, he'd play.
That's not how it works, bro. You gotta.
Why are they blackballing him? Does he have some crazy political stance that I don't know about? Like, what's going on?
Because he's a dog and he might bite them.
Oh, okay.
Because when they
what's that mean? I don't get what you're saying there. Like, So he can never play for the Dolphins again. I don't think that.
Oh,
thing
that's
ended
not
well.
True. That's not true.
I don't. I'm
that's
not
Joe. Really let's not go down happen. This road on draft day.
No.
No. No. I mean, it's not a need for.
And
the
by the
Dolphins
way, Jarvis is a really good second round pick. Really good second round pick.
Probably one of the best in franchise history.
See, there you go. I just said something nice.
How is he not one of the best in franchise history?
Pat, Sam, I can name
okay,
a lot of really
you
good
just named
second
two.
Round picks.
Okay, give me another one.
Dwight.
All right. Give me another one.
Dwight's a Hall of Famer.
Top five. Jarvis is in top five of second round picks.
In the history of this team, not even close. Not even close. It's not a shot
Joe.
At him, but it's not even close.
He did average 2 yards per reception.
Bob Baumhauer.
All right, you're bringing up all these old guys.
Well, I mean, well, you said I get all the drafts. I'm just going back to guys I can still remember. I can't remember a lot of stuff.
1947 NFL draft.
That's not funny. It's not funny. Not funny. All right, we got to go to break. 9 o'clock hour's coming up. I count them all. That was for all the 70 and 60-year-old guys out there.
Joe,
you're right,
Joe's
Joe.
Like, oh, there you go. You're back, Joe. You faded out for a second.
All right. Hey, listen, we got a lot of stuff to get to, including a couple of guys that I really believe in. No, I'm not an attorney for a firm, but I will tell you, Harvey Cohen and Gary Judah are really good. The injury law firm, 30-plus years of experience. And, boy, I'll just say this. The names on that law firm, are the guys that are going to handle your case personally, start to finish, small enough to handle a fender bender, big enough to go to trial against the largest companies right here in South Florida and win. Let's talk about communication, unhappy clients out there. So you get these guys and you see commercials and stuff. You go, that's a guy I want, man. That's a guy I want. So you get in there and they go, all right, hey, nice to meet you. That's who's going to handle your case right over there, one of those 20. And the next thing you know, because they have so many things going on, nobody's calling you back. It's like you kind of get lost in the shuffle. If that's happened to you, you've been injured, and you hired a law firm that makes promises and they're not keeping them right now, you're not alone. It happens every day right here in South Florida. Call Cohen and Judah for a free second opinion on your injury case. Harvey Cohen and Gary Judah, not only friends of mine, but great experience to help you win, big results, excellent client reviews. And matter of fact, they always tell me just have them go to CohenandJudah.com. That's all you have to do, CohenandJudah.com. They'll handle your case from start to finish. Just shake the hand and let's get going, man. Always can get a hold of these guys. And more importantly, you'll be really happy with the way this thing settles for you. So if you're not happy, remember the names, Cohen and Judah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.